Well, good morning, church. It is wonderful to see y'all in the parking lot again. I see some of y'all waving at me, and that is wonderful. I'm going to just suggest this is the Spirit of God blowing through like a rushing wind, and that's the only thing I can understand. So when I get all flustered up here and the hair goes sideways, it's just the Lord working. That's what we're going to claim. So it's good to see you all here. It's good to have everybody on Facebook and on YouTube with us. We're going to worship this morning because that's what we do on Sundays. And so we will begin now. I want to start with just a few announcements, just real fast. And the first one is this. Tuesday of this week, we're going to start a class called The Bible and the Blues. And it's going to compare some scripture stuff with some blues stuff, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And what I would love for you to do, if you want to be a part of that, is email JenkinsPastor@gmail.com. Send me an email, and I will return to you the password and everything to connect to the Zoom platform. It's going to be on Zoom, so you may need to download that. But just click on the link. It'll take you to it. And we're going to have that class starting Tuesday night at 6:30. But make sure you send me an email at JenkinsPastor@gmail if you want to be a part of that. The second thing is that Ed Wittenberg wanted me to thank you all for the cards and the phone calls and everything else. Ed's at home now. He's been in the hospital for a few days, but he's back at home now. And he wanted to make sure I said thank you for all the cards and everything. And as I say that, I want to let you know there's been like five or six people, and I don't remember them all now, who wanted to tell me to thank you for the cards that you're sending. So thank you all for connecting with each other and calling each other and sending cards and letters. It's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you for doing that. The last thing I want to say is this. Because we've been doing the worship outside, we've not been able to take down prayer requests. So what I would love for you to do, if you're online, go ahead and jot those down in the comments. If you're on your, if you're here in person and you can go back later and put those in the comments of the videos or send me a text or something, we want to put all those together so that we can have the prayer requests and make sure that we're praying for those people that we need to be praying for. So just send those in the comments of the online stuff on the Facebook and the YouTube streams, and we'll make sure we have those. So that's what's going on in the church. If there's anything else that I need to announce, let me know about it. I'll make sure I get that information out during the week, but that's what's going on right now. So that's the announcements, and now we get to worship. So I want to read our call to worship today from Psalm 100. I think it's perfect for this day, and this is our call to worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's all go to God in prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank You that we get to come today making a joyful noise to You. We thank You that we've been called into this place, even if it's a parking lot, even if it's in our cars, but we've been called to a place to lift up Your name. We thank You, God, that those online, on Facebook and on YouTube, can lift Your name up in their homes while we all connect together. We thank You, God, that we are called today to make a joyful noise to You no matter where we are. So, Lord, hear us singing. Hear us praying, hear us talking, watch us hearing, look at us as we try to figure out how to be better disciples of Yours every day that we go into this world. Lord, teach us how to do that and watch us as we do it. So we ask for Your blessings in this time. Lord, bless us with Your Spirit in the time of worship so that we can grow and we can worship You in the way we should. And Lord, we want to pray for those who are not with us today for whatever reason. If there are those that couldn't join us online, if there were those who couldn't join us here in the parking lot, we ask You, Lord, to bless them. For those in ill health, we ask You, Lord, for healing. For those in difficult financial times, we ask for blessings to come upon them from others who can share some of what they have. We ask, Lord, that in whatever situation that is going on in this world, that Your will be done in whatever way You find it right and good to do. Lord, we ask You these things because we desperately need You. We ask You these things because You are our God. And all of God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Thank you again to our fine musicians who have been practicing all week, preparing for this so they can lead us some music. Thank you all for leading us in. Let's lift up our voices, please. Thank you.
The mystery in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace.
Thank you so much. We'll talk real quick about some things that are going on through the tithes and the gifts that you give. Just this week, I want to let you know what's happened. We've taken care of electric bills. We've taken care of car insurance for someone who was about to lose their car insurance because of this. We took care of someone's ceiling that was falling in. there's been several things just this week that we've made sure that we're helping in the community by helping people with resources. And there's going to be a lot more things coming along, too, that we're going to need to do. So I want to thank you, each and every one of you, who have given either in person or on our online platform. You can go to JenkinsCP.org to see how to do that. But I just want to thank you for continuing to give. If you know of somebody who is in need of help, please let us know. We want to be here for the community in whatever way we can. And so if you know somebody who needs help, if you need help, whatever, let us know. We're here to do that. But I want to thank those who have been giving. And again, JenkinsCP.org. You can do it right now if you want to. You can see the links on there. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to read our scripture today. And our scripture comes from Acts 3. It's verses 1 through 10. It's a familiar story, I believe, but I'll read it. It's Acts 3, 1 through 10, and it reads this way. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms for those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms, and Peter looked intently at him, and as did John, and expecting to, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's go to God again in prayer. Lord God, we ask that you teach us something from this scripture. This scripture has been around for 2,000 years, leading and guiding people, and we ask that you allow it to lead and guide us today. Teach us something from it. If it's in the sermon, Lord, thank you for giving me a word. If it's something else, Lord, thank you for giving somebody else a word. We ask you, Lord, to bless this time so that we can learn from this scripture and we can go into the world and live it out. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Y'all, let me say this real quick. Number one, I love the honking. I'm such a huge fan of this. But number two, I can't wait to get back in the church. I can't wait to get back in the sanctuary. I can't wait to get back in there with the choir and such. I can't wait to get back to where we can see each other again and not just see each other through car windows or through our comments on our live feeds either. I mean where we can get back to hugging each other and joking with each other and all those things. I can't wait to get back to where I can hear an amen or two. Like I said, still a big fan of the honkings though. I can't wait to get back in the sanctuary where we can lift up our voices again and sing, lift up our voice and sing till earth and heaven ring if need be. I can't wait until we are free of the burdens that are causing us to stay apart. I can't wait to get back in the church again, y'all. I'm ready. There ain't no wind inside of there. Now, I'm in no rush. Don't get me wrong. My religious liberties are intact, and I don't need to be in a big crowd yet. No, thank you. I ain't trying to catch y'all's cooties. That's not what's happening here. Now, some of y'all have asked when we'll be back in there together. We don't know that yet. We're still working on that. We're being very slow and very cautious, so I'm not saying we're going to be back in the sanctuary anytime real soon. But what I am saying is there's going to be a time when we're in the sanctuary again where we can all lift up the name of God together. That we're gonna be where we can worship the name of the one who created us, where we can pray together to the one who recreated us, where we can commit ourselves to the one who will lead our ways once we walk back out of the doors of the church. When that happens, when we can do that together, it's going to be a glorious day, and y'all, I can't wait for that. But I want to say this. If something does come good of this COVID-19 not meeting in the church kind of days, I hope it is this, I hope these many weeks of meeting online and worshiping in the parking lot teaches us this. I hope we learn to never take worshiping for granted ever again. We ought to never take worship for granted as if that is something we can even do. See, here's my belief. We've got it awful easy in this world so that we can worship anytime we want to in just about any way we want to. And that's good. That's great. That really is. I celebrate that. But I'm not going to lie. I think it has made us Christians a little bit soft. Now, I don't mean you and me. We're doing just fine. I'm talking about all those other Christians. We're all right. But I mean everybody else. Because being that we can worship at any time we want to, worship can sometimes become worship any old time we want to. And that might become worshiping because that's just sort of what we do. And God forbid that ever happens, because then it's simply routine. Worship becomes just a thing we do, and we end up taking it for granted. And I never want my worship to be that. Worship is supposed to be worship. If you ever see worship in people who don't feel free because God's got them when the world doesn't have them at all, or if you see worship in people where God is all they got, where they're calling out from under the altar, "How long, Lord, how long?" If you go, I'm sure, to places where it's forbidden to worship Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ followers are not allowed together, if you worship there, if you worship around those folks who yearn for God because the sin of fallen man has let them down, if you go to those places, I assure you, worship is not routine. Worship is what you do there because everything has been stripped away from you, and you see that God and God's way is the only way, and there is no routine in that kind of worship. There is only worship. And now, you and I have had a taste of not being able to worship. We've had a taste of what it looks like when our privilege is sort of taken away from us. So we've come in our cars and we've come online. And I know a couple of people have got me broadcasted on TVs right now, which is just a little bit weird. But now we've learned what it's like to not just be able to show up to church any old time we want to. If we want to, just comfortable, that's always going to be there for us. Somebody might be so audacious to say that we Christians have gotten a little bit spoiled. So now I wonder, with it taken away from us for so long, will we ever be able to take it for granted again, if we ever did? When we go back, will we take that yearning to worship in the doors with us? Will we refuse to ever take for granted our chance to worship again? What about the prayer meetings that we have? Will I ever take it for granted again to pray with my brothers and sisters in Christ? And let me tell you, I get it. I get it that prayer meetings are a little bit weird. What am I supposed to do? Do I talk? Do I have to pray out loud? Why can't I pray at home? Will people wonder why I'm being so quiet if I don't pray? What if I pray for something dumb, we might think? I get it, I know. But what about now? Will we ever take it for granted again, the chance to pray together? What about Bible study? What of Sunday school? Now that we have been deprived of air, will we be able to breathe deep the breath of God in the church once again? What might it mean to a starving person to feast yet again at God's table? When we come to the well of living water together again, how deeply will we drink? Man, you got to know I'm ready to get back in the church. I think we all are. I can't wait. It's not time yet. We'll get there, though. It'll happen. Now, I don't want to talk about that anymore. I want to talk about the scripture now, so let's go to turn to it. Y'all, in this scripture, I think there's something that we need to talk about before we head back into the church. There's something we need to investigate before we go back into the church and worship all together again. If I read this scripture right, there's something we need to do before we worship our God. And here it is. We need to pause. We need to remove our blinders. We need to slow down. And we need to look around. And we need to look so hard that we even see the beggar at the gate. Because if we don't look around, How are we going to see what all that God is doing in this world? And if we haven't seen all that God is doing, what God are we worshiping? See, when I read this story, I recognize that it's not what happens in the temple that makes the faith worth living. It's what happens outside the church that shows the glory of God. Did you see that in the scripture? It's outside the church that God so often shows up, most often shows up, almost always shows up, doing God things through God's people. And it's only after we see God working out here in the parking lots of the church suburbs and the towns across the world, in the high rises, but definitely down the streets too. It's only after we see Jesus' followers doing Jesus-following things out here that we can brave the sanctuary to worship that Lord on high. It is only after we see God work out here, outside the gates, that we can dare invoke the name of God in worship. We can't go in there until we see God working out here. Do you really want to see God, really worship? Do you really want to lift up the name of God? Then worshiping a God that you've got a witness to. Because if we get simply a glimpse of God, you bet worship is what's going to fall out of us. Let's never, ever worship the idea or the concept of God. Let's worship the God we see doing God stuff. That is a God worthy of praise. Well, they all saw God working outside the temple that day, didn't they? They saw what God could do. Everybody saw it. So they jumped up and they all went in and they laughed together and they cried together and they shouted together. And don't you know that dude that got healed danced like God was watching? Nobody mumbled a hymn that day, man. They sang out. On that day, they worshiped a God because there was a God that was worthy of worship. So I'm saying, if we want to worship, let's get out here and see God at work through us. Let's see God at work through somebody else. Let's see God at work through an enemy. I don't care who it is. Let's just see a God we can worship. Now, I'm going to say this too. I sure do wish I could see healings like the one that are in this scripture. I'm not going to lie. That'd be pretty fantastic. Now, I still believe there are healings, and I still believe there are miracles. But I think also that they've lost their drama, maybe, over the last couple of thousand years. I haven't seen anybody spit in the mud, or spit in the dirt, make some mud, and rub it on somebody and heal them lately. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to lie. That probably would scare me into worship. But even if I'm not seeing things like that, don't think for a second I ain't seen God working in this world. We all have we not? We've all seen God doing God things. And when we do, don't we want to lift up that God's name? Isn't that why we're in a parking lot right now? We see God and we want to worship God. And I got to tell you, I've seen God work in the last couple of days, and I want to tell y'all about it. Y'all know Mike and Anna and the kiddos, I think, have moved back to town. I hope y'all have heard this. They've moved to Ohio several months ago, and now they've moved back. They figured they missed us so much they couldn't stay gone, so they came on back. But truth be told, when they moved back, they came back and they didn't have any furniture. And that was just fine at first because they moved into a furnished place, so no problem. They had furniture in their furnished place, no big deal. But they got an apartment Friday. Weren't supposed to move into it to the end of May, but the management company called up and said, y'all move in right now if you want to. And it's a nice apartment too. But y'all, let me tell you this, it was bare to the walls. There wasn't a stick of furniture anywhere in it. So they came up with a couple of blankets and such for the first night, and they camped out, you know, and called it a camp out, and they were done. So then we started making phone calls to see what we could figure out. Well, I got in touch with a friend of mine, Reverend Lisa Cook, and we asked her if she knew anybody that maybe had some mattresses. And she helps a lot of people move into apartments and such, so she figured that she could find a mattress. I figured she might be able to find a mattress. And when I called her up, she said, yeah, she knew a guy. So she sent me his number, and I called him up, and I said, man, I really don't know why I'm calling you, other than Lisa Cook said you call you because you might have some mattresses. So I'm calling you. And he laughed a little bit, and he said, yep, I got some mattresses. So I told him the situation, everything that was going on, and he said, mattresses? Yeah, I got mattresses, but I can do a lot better than that. I can furnish the entire apartments, what he said. And I said, wait, what? He said, yeah, I got furniture for the whole apartment. Done deal. It's fixed. No problem. And y'all, let me tell you, when he said that, I felt like a man at the gate had just been told to rise up and walk. I jumped up, and I said, well, tell me more then. And so he told me his story. The guy's a furniture mover. He moves people across the country and whatnot, and he predominantly does it for people with a lot of money. He likes that rich money. Who can blame him, right? Well, come to find out, people with a lot of money don't like moving everything they have sometimes. Bedroom suits or den furniture don't fit in the new house like they did in the old house, and they want to get rid of it. And that leaves them in a quandary. What do I do with all my furniture? Well, this furniture mover decided he'd ask people to donate to his nonprofit that he set up in honor of his father. And he'd give his customers a tax write-off to donate the furniture. And he would take some of that furniture, he would sell some of it to fund the nonprofit, and then give the rest of it away to people who needed it. It's called Heart of a Dad Furniture and Home Decor.com. The brother needs to work on the website address, but that's what it is. So you can Google it if you want to. It's Heart of a Dad Furniture in Nashville. Fantastic organization. So he starts telling me that he's got sofas, and he's got beds, and he's got end tables, and he's got kitchen tables, and on and on and on and on. And man, it was such a blessing. So Mike and Anna last night went up there with a U-Haul, and they got an entire apartment's worth of furniture. Boom, done, finished. And so I talked to Mike, and let me tell you what that brother was saying. That brother was witnessing. He was worshiping when he found out about this. He was saying, man, God is good. I wish Mike and Anna were here right now, because I'd make them lay on the horns, because God is good. God is good, and we know it because God was out there doing God things for people who needed it. Jesus' followers did something that showed how right Jesus was, and that's a God worthy of worship. Just ask Mike and Anna and the kids. You hear what I'm saying to you? Y'all listen. What happened on the outside of the church with some good folks who just needed some things for an apartment to move into, what happened on the outside of the church, a businessman who would rather run a nonprofit in his spare time than do anything else, who'd rather give furniture away rather than buying it low and selling it high. What happened on the outside of a church with a homeless minister, Reverend Lisa Cook, who's out there doing the work of God in the streets in Nashville, who met this businessman. What happened on the outside of the church, where I just happened to be able to watch God's stuff coming together when Jesus followers started doing Jesus things. What happened was that we can all see the brilliant light of God in this world shining so bright that everybody can see it. Y'all, I saw a miracle come together. That's what it is when God's will does a seemingly impossible thing like fill up an apartment with furniture. And when we see miracles, when we see God doing good stuff, the scripture we read this morning suggests that we ought to do some worshiping in the church right after. We've got to. God's worthy of praise. Y'all, have you seen some of the good stuff in this world, haven't you? You all have seen it. And I mean God's definition of good, not the world's definition of good. You've met good people doing amazing things for the Lord. You've met good people that are saying the same things Jesus said because Jesus said it first. You've met some good people who are kind and loving and full of grace and mercy and peace and patience and kindness and all those things that make up God. You've met some people who side with the least of these, reminding us, the rest of us, that we best be serving the least of these in the kingdom if we want to be in the kingdom at all. You've seen God work through you when through the power of the Holy Spirit you lived in Jesus' way, even when it was the hardest way to live. You've seen God work when God lifted you out of what you were in and gave you a seat at the Lord's table. You've seen God's work when you've been sitting at the table and somebody else showed up that you didn't expect to be there. You've seen God's work when goodness shows up anywhere in this world, no matter where it's from or who it's by. You've seen it because you've lived it. You've seen God doing God stuff in this world. And now, church, I want to get back inside these walls and lift up the name of God together. And this time that we do it, I never want to take it for granted. I don't want to think that I've got next week to tell Jesus that I follow him when I meant to say it this week. I want to worship, man, and I want to really worship because I've seen a God work worshiping, and we'll get there, church. We will. The time is coming soon, and we will be again in the house of the Lord. But in the meantime, let's worship as we're able. And then let's search high and low for more of those God things that God's doing. Let's get ourselves geeked up. Let's get ourselves primed and ready because we're going to be back in there and we'll not take it for granted ever when we do. We're going to worship, church. we're going to worship God soon because we see a God worthy of worship. And y'all, if you are worshiping that God right now, I want you to honk your horn for an amen, and we will get back together. Amen, 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 amen. Y'all, we're going to have one more song as our musicians come back. My sermon must have been short. I should have reminded them. We're going to have one more song. I think you know this one. Lift up your voices and sing in your cars. If I hear anybody singing loud enough that I hear you outside your cars, I'm going to come and give you a high five on your windshield. So y'all sing loud.
You don't say. He's giving people high fives on the windshield now. This song was requested, which gives me just a moment to remind you that if you have songs right now that you wish to hear, let us know. We'll see what we can do with it. If it ain't too hard, we'll do it for you. If it is, it just may take a couple weeks. But y'all know this. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a new born baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance that child can face uncertain days, because Christ lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all the fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, life is worth the living just because He lives.
Jerry. there. You almost got a high five. I didn't hear you, but I saw you singing, brother. Amen, my friend. I want to real quick have a moment of prayer. I saw the prayer request come in, and it's only right for us as a church to lift up the name of the Lord and of these people together. So let's go to God in prayer one more time. Lord, we lift up these names that have come in as prayer requests, Ed and Wittenberg, Ann Burks, friend of ours, the Sidwells, the Durhams, Lord, the Jarretts. We pray for Andrew Brenneman. We pray for the Wilkers' friend, Allison. Pray for Melanie Soyson, for David Morton, for Alex Mundy, for Bill Rowland. We lift him up, Lord. For Kim and Rain, for Joan. We lift up Joan Sanders, Lord. I know Harold's not been able to see her for several days and get in touch with her for several days. And we just ask, Lord, that communication be set up so that they can talk. We pray, Lord, for Judy Judkins, for Harold Schaefer, for Bill Etherly, for Suzanne and Peyton, for Timmy. For our day school families, Lord, we lift them up and we pray, Lord, for the Britton family, for the family of Brenda Britton. She was a saint in this world, Lord, and we know she's a saint in heaven now. So we ask for blessings on the family that had to have the funeral today. And we also lift up Lord Jacob Baker. We lift up Drew Davis, who died of a family who died in a motorcycle accident, a relative of Teresa Franciscan. Lord, we lift up that name. And we lift up all of those, Lord, that couldn't be named because it's just too heavy on our hearts to say the names. We ask for prayers to these people, Lord. As a church family together, we ask it. And God's people said, Amen. Hear the benediction. Go in love. Go in joy. Go in peace. Go in grace. Go in mercy. And go looking for the Lord in this world so that we can worship. And Lord, release us from this parking lot and from online, but never from you. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. If you need anything, call us. If you know anybody that needs anything, call us. We're here to help whoever needs it, financially, spiritually, in whatever way. Let's lift up people and help them out. God bless you all. We'll see you.